It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. High school dance and cheer teams from across Wisconsin will meet for the state championships to be held in La Crosse and Appleton, respectively. And we explore the skills, the creativity, the athleticism, and you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have two representatives from the Wisconsin Association of Cheer and Pom Coaches. Jim Ward is co-chair for the dance committee. Jim, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Carrie Litke is president of the association. Carrie, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Carrie, let's start with you. As the state championships draw near, how are teams preparing each day leading up to these competitions?
So a lot of teams right now are wrapping up their appearances at local events and taking the feedback from the officials at those events and implementing them into their practices right now. A lot of cleanup, attention to details, I would say, and also working to, review, where do they stand in regards to the rules that guide our sports as well, making sure that they are, dotting I's and crossing their T's right now.
What are some things that stand out there in the rules that we should be aware of for, people who are not involved in the sport?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the two highest areas is making sure that their apparel is compliant with our National Federation of High School Standard or Schools rules, as well as our state rules, making sure that they have, talked with those officials to make sure that the appropriateness and the legalities are being met. In addition to that, they're also looking at how they're performing their skills as well. Both cheer and dance have so much athleticism built into them. So it could be how they are bearing their weight as they land a particular trick, to how they are executing their lifts and their stunts and their routines to make sure that they are meeting those standards.
You know, Jim, as the state championships approach, the nerves can also get a little bit frazzled. How do you keep, the excitement and the energy up for these students?
Well, I think the students really come to the competition, particularly regional and state, prepared. They start early in the year. In fact, many of the schools, the dance teams and cheer teams, will begin their season in June because they will have tryouts, and then they will go to camps to learn routines, and then they will start working on their routines. So by the time we get to January and February for competitions, I think all the teams are pretty confident, and they're trying to clean up or perfect some of the part of the choreography or the skills that they are including in their routines. But by the time they get to regional or state, they're ready to go. And they have done it so many times that, of course, there will be nerves that kick in. But we always say, go out and do your best and really enjoy the experience more than anything else.
I've heard the word clean up now a couple times here, Jim, and I'm wondering, what strategies do these teams use to, become more synchronized in their moves during these performances?
I think that you have to, as a coach, understand your skill level of your team, what will look good, what can you do to perfection, synchronizing those parts of the routines. And it really is just repetitive practice over and over again. A small skill that may take just a few seconds, but is important to your routine. And they will spend a lot of time on those types of details.
And Jim, you bring some numbers with you that there are nearly 4,000 dance and cheer athletes on 111 teams who competed through the association, and you think that's going to continue to grow. What is driving the interest?
I think that several things. I think our cheer and dance athletes want to represent their high schools. They want to be a part of the high school experience. And we recognize that both cheer and dance teams They will participate in parades, 4th of July parades. They will be at every or many of the high school football and basketball games for both boys and girls teams. And then they go to competitions and they go to community service events. So not only do they compete and earn awards and also earn an athletic letter, many of the dancers, probably the more advanced, they're also looking at those to be college opportunities. Many colleges will recruit cheerleaders and dancers, offer scholarships to them. So really the range of where you are, and I think just the popularity of seeing it on TV and just the popularity of cheer and dance. And we are seeing an increase in the number of athletes participating this year over last.
Carrie, you've been a coach for decades. Do Wisconsin high schools provide enough funding for dance and cheer teams compared to other team sports like football or basketball?
If we had to do numbers to numbers, I would say that definitely the cheer and dance teams often end up on the lower end of that scale. And a lot of it does have to do with the tradition of funding within districts that is different across the board. There's going to be some districts who are viewing and treating their programs for cheer and dance as an athletic activity and therefore providing budgets for it. And then there are others who have not gotten to that point and still look at it from the view of an extracurricular activity and may not necessarily have the budgeting that they can put forth to it. I do think that because of that tradition, a lot of teams have become very self-sufficient, in that they, have been very creative in how they are creating funds so that they can support their activity.
Meaning that individual teams are fundraising in order to travel, for uniforms, for other incidentals?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like any sport, there's always the gear and the apparel, the commitments, as you've mentioned, travel that come along with it. And the more successful a team, the more you can add on to that calendar. So really, the fundraising has become very crucial for so many programs to be able to provide the resources and the tools that the teams need in order to enter into that competitive arena.
Carrie Litke is president of the Wisconsin Association of Cheer and Pom Coaches. Jim Ward is here, co-chair of the association's dance committee, as we discuss cheer and dance and the state championships coming up. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
Come on and lift your glass. You've won your own free pass to be our guest. If you're stressed, it's fine dining, we suggest. Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest.
It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are listening to Be Our Guest from Disney's 1991 animated movie Beauty and the Beast. Hudson High School won last year's statewide dance competition in the kick division, performing to this song. Ahead of this year's Dance and Cheer Championships, we're in conversation with two representatives from the Wisconsin Association of Cheer and Pom Coaches. Jim Ward is co-chair of the dance committee, and Carrie Litke is president of the association. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. Carrie, what makes a good song for dance competitions?
Well, dance or cheer, really. I think that often teams are going to choose something that they can relate to or have a sense of buy-in. Definitely, I would say that their selections are going to be something that will allow them to have that artistic expression and take on character and give life to their routines. There's a lot of storytelling that happens through dance and cheer routines that, you could choose anything just off the radio and bust a move, but to be able to really relate, what people are hearing to the movement that they are seeing is really special.
Jim, how do you know when the music clicks, when the music complements a routine?
I think when you are an audience member, just like you're going to a concert or watching a movie or a TV show, when it moves you and when it gives you meaning and you can relate to it, I think that's what the teams are really trying to do, is to connect with the audience and not only show their skill, but make it a memorable performance.
But that audience, they could be very young, they could be old, they come from all walks of life. So how do you approach choreography with so many different types of people who are watching it?
I think you determine what your style is, the type of genre you're going to compete in. In our dance competitions, you can compete in two of the four genres, which are palm, hip-hop, kick, and jazz. So once you determine that, and many of the schools traditionally will compete in certain genres, then I think you look at the skills that your athletes have that season, and as a coach or as a choreographer, you design your routine based on all of those different elements.
Carrie, what kind of physical conditioning is needed to meet the physical demands of these sports?
Yeah, you know, our athletes, we think about what they're doing in the span of 2 minutes and 30 seconds is just an awful lot. You know, both sports have to exert a lot of energy, not only physically, but also through voice. And so there is a ton of cardio that is happening. You know, many teams are implementing running or, you know, even something as fun as Zumba, which is very relatable, I think, to everybody. Mm-hmm. And then there's also going to be that element of working their flexibility and strength conditioning that you will find that they're implementing, and a lot of technique. You know, there's a lot of isolation of movement that creates that muscle memory, but it's also building muscle at the same time.
And being thrown in the air. I mean, just thinking about, you know, those stunts and the, you know, what safety is going in to execute them. And I'm just wondering, can you talk about those types of throws and how you learn them?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as coaches, I think a lot of times we're relating to the kids about how the physics of what they do absolutely matters and makes a difference. There is a lot of discussion about how proper lifting works with our bodies. I think if you imagine just lifting a heavy box, and if you're going to throw it, I think the average person would probably approach it not with a legs first type of idea versus I'm just going to grab it and I'm going to throw, and while you're throwing with your back, you know, and that's not going to get the greatest height. It's not going to feel good. You know, so I think that there is a lot of work through progressions of skills, starting from the very simplest of skills where you're teaching the dynamics and the base of proper lifting to the point where, you know, you have to learn how to release a skill and recatch a body. And it really takes everybody who is involved in that to make it work. So there's a ton of time that is spent into the safety mechanics of not just talking about it, but actually practicing catching properly and everybody understanding what their role is in regards to making sure that they can make their environment safe for themselves and the person that's going up in the air.
We're talking about dance and cheer athletes in Wisconsin ahead of next month's state championships. And we have Carrie Litke here and Jim Ward from the Wisconsin Association of Cheer and Palm Coaches. You can join in questions and comments along the way, 800-642-1234. You know, Jim, you say that cheer and dance are historically viewed as primarily female sports. Is that dynamic still the case today?
No, we're seeing more and more male athletes participate on the cheer side. There are co-ed divisions, and we are seeing If you go to a college game, you're going to see the need for many more male cheerleaders than sometimes even female cheerleaders on some of the squads because of the strength and the lifting. But also on the dance side as well, I think shows like So You Think You Can Dance on TV and other dance shows are inspiring male athletes. Many of the athletes will start at studio or rec programs, and then they will evolve into their high school because they, as I said, they want to be a part of the high school experience. So we are seeing more males in both cheer and dance.
Carrie, how do judges measure a good performance? What is behind the judging?
Gosh, there's so much to be said for that. I think, there is a math to understanding how they are placing one team ahead the next. There's a lot of criteria and drivers that break down everything from the sharpness of their movement, the synchronization of their movement, the storytelling of the choreography. There's all of these different units of measure that they're looking at. The ability for teams to do difficult skills, but then also how well did they execute those skills. So there's an awful lot of training that our judges have to go through in order to get through the complexities of a score sheet.
Do they watch a routine with fresh eyes, or do they know the elements of it before it is delivered, performed?
So, there are going to be some of our judges who may be officiating at local events and then are at that ranking where they are then hired at our state level events. So, there's a very real chance that they may have seen a routine prior to that event. However, our theory really is, especially when we're educating our judges, is to evaluate what they are seeing that day. And so, try and let go of any biases that they may have and really evaluate the athletes on how they are performing
Right
that
before
routine on that
then.
day.
Yeah. Carrie and Jim, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having us.
Carrie Littke, president of the Wisconsin Association of Cheer and Pom Coaches. Jim Ward is co-chair for the dance committee. The state cheer and dance championships take place next month in La Crosse and Appleton. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.